from KQED.
Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. Today, county registrars start mailing ballots to voters ahead of the primary on June 3rd. Highlights on this ballot include races for governor. All of the state's 53 seats in the House of Representatives, all 80 seats in the state assembly, and half of those in the state Senate. Voters also get to say yay or nay on two statewide ballot measures. 2 years ago, 65% of those voting mailed in their ballots. The LA Times quotes one political analyst saying, "There's no such thing as election day anymore. Now it's election month. Not registered to vote? You can still do something about that. The deadline is May 19th. The Department of Education released a list last week of more than 50 schools, including some in California, under investigation for alleged Title IX violations. At issue is the way colleges and universities respond to reports of sexual assault. A White House task force has suggested new, tougher guidelines, and some legislators in Washington, D.C. are talking about new laws that would include penalties for failing to act. The federal attention follows a surge in students, mostly women, speaking out about a long silent problem, as Grace Rubenstein reports from UC Berkeley.
31 current and former Cal students filed a federal Title IX complaint in February. They said Cal's response to reports about sexual violence was dangerously inadequate.
I think that Cal has been responding to sexual assault and sexual assault survivors in a very deliberately indifferent way, honestly, for decades.
Diva Cass graduated from Cal in 2009. She says when she was a junior, a fellow student drugged and raped her in his fraternity bedroom.
I only remembered about 30 seconds or so of the actual assault. I remember pushing the guy off of me and saying no and him not stopping. And then my sort of memory of the night goes blank.
Cass is now a law student at Notre Dame University. In her written testimony to the Department of Education, she recounted how she struggled with fear and anxiety during the 5 months it took the university to hold a hearing about her claims. A university officer told Cass she could not bring a lawyer or witnesses to the hearing, but when she got there, her alleged attacker had both. After she told her story, her alleged assailant got to directly interrogate her. When it was his turn to tell his side of the story, she had to leave the room.
This person completely took away my voice and violated my body. And by allowing him to then question me about it and sort of set it up in a way where he had the control and the power of the situation again, it was humiliating, and it was really a second trauma.
The university found Cass's alleged assailant not responsible for sexual assault. A university official told Cass that the accused could appeal the decision if he wanted, but she could not. Within a week, she was hospitalized for anxiety. His fraternity, she says, threw him a party.
These stories are heartbreaking, and it just is very hard to hear that anybody on our campus would have had to endure such a difficult situation.
Claire Holmes is an associate vice chancellor and UC Berkeley spokesperson. She says Cal recently revised its sexual assault policy, though student activists still want the university to go further.
Students may actually appeal the case, and they can be present in the room through the whole hearing.
Also, both parties in a sexual assault case can now bring a lawyer and witnesses, and officials must try to resolve cases within 60 days. Students can still directly question their accusers, although federal guidelines explicitly discourage that practice. Cal says it'll try to accommodate students who don't feel comfortable being in the same room with their alleged attackers. Autumn Payne is an Oakland lawyer who has represented Cal students accused of sexual assault in criminal court, which is separate from the university judicial process. She says the reforms made so far sound reasonable.
The person who's being accused faces pretty significant consequences. You know, this could ruin their academic career. This could end job prospects. Because of these significant consequences, we want to make sure that that person has every opportunity to defend themselves.
Nationally, researchers estimate that 1 in 5 college women suffers an actual or attempted sexual assault during her undergraduate years. By most accounts, this has gone on mostly silently at universities for decades, until a pivotal moment.
Well, in 2011, the Assistant Secretary of Education for Civil Rights, Russellyn Alley, issued a Dear Colleague letter.
Michelle Dauber is a Stanford University law professor who helped overhaul the university's sexual assault policy 4 years ago. That federal letter clarified that Title IX, which prohibits sex discrimination and sexual harassment on college campuses, also covers sexual assault. And it made plain that universities that don't act to stop such violence are breaking the law.
I think that that letter really spurred some people to action, some students who maybe, you know, felt like this was wrong but didn't know that they had rights, and that told them that they did have rights.
Now the Department of Education's Office for Civil Rights is investigating more than 50 schools, and the list includes Harvard, Amherst, Occidental College, and the University of Southern California. California Congresswoman Jackie Speier plans to introduce a bill this month to strengthen federal enforcement. She consulted on the bill with some Cal students, including Sophie Karasik.
I think a big part of it is that most sexual assaults are committed by serial perpetrators, and universities, when they learn of cases and they don't do anything, well, that's putting other people at risk.
Karasik is a junior at Cal and one of the organizers of the complainants. She says she reported being assaulted, not raped, by another student in 2012. But the university resolved the matter privately with him without telling her. Despite the reforms, Karasik perceives her university's attitude towards sexual assault like this.
Don't get raped. And if you do get raped, we're not going to help you in any way. You're on your own.
That makes me really sad to hear that, and that I certainly hope that we can do a better job.
Again, UC Berkeley's Claire Holmes.
We want to work in coordination with our students, and I applaud these women who are incredibly brave, who are trying to raise national attention to this important topic.
Karasik is part of a growing national network of students who are connecting with each other on social media, teaching each other how to file complaints. And they're not stopping until they see that universities not only change their policies on paper, but follow through. For the California Report, I'm Grace Rubenstein.
To see the list of schools under federal investigation, head online to californiareport.org. And that's the California Report for Monday, May 5th, the production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected. On the web at theschmidt.org. Stanford Children's Health, bringing innovative care to kids throughout the Bay Area. Learn more at stanfordchildrens.org. And the James Irvine Foundation, expanding opportunity for the people of California and supporting the California Report since its premiere in 1995.